माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय जय यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 जय प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे శిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకుటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నమాచార్య హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది సమవేద్ భక్త వృందకి సమవేద్ భక్త వృందకి సమవేద్ భక్త వృందకి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी. Reading from Srimad Bhagavat, first canto, chapter 11, entitled Lord Krishna's Entrance into Dwarka, Shloka number 30. Atha Vishat Swabhavanam Sarvakamam Anuttamam Prasada यत्र पत्नीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश अथम् सर्वकामम् अनुत्तमम् प्रासादा यत्र पत्नीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश विशत् स्वभवनम् सर्वकामम् अनुत्तमम् प्रासादा यत्र पत्नीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश अथाविशत् स्वभवनम् सर्वकामम् अनुत्तमम् प्रासादा यत्र पत्नीनां सहस्राणि च षोडश. Mataji's. Word to word meaning. Atha, thereafter. Avishat. Entered Swabhavanam, personal palaces, Sarva, all, Kamam, desires, Anuttamam, perfect to fullest extent, प्रासादाः पैलेसेस यत्र वेर पत्नीनाम ऑफ द वाइव्स नंबरिंग सहस्राणि थाउजेंड्स च ओवर एंड अबाउ षोडश सिक्सटीन Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thereafter the Lord entered His palaces, which were perfect to the fullest extent. His wives lived in them, and they numbered over 16,000. Purport. Lord Krishna had 16,108 wives, and for each and every one of them, there was a fully equipped palace, complete with necessary compounds and gardens. Full description of these palaces is given in the 10th canto. All the palaces were made of the best marble stone. They were illuminated by jewels and decorated by curtains and carpets of velvet and silk, nicely bedecked and embroidered with gold lace. The personality of Godhead means one who is full with all power, all energy, all opulences, all beauties, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Therefore, in the palaces of the Lord, there was nothing wanting for the fulfillment of desires of the Lord. Therefore, in the palaces of the Lord, there was nothing wanting for fulfillment of all desires of the Lord. The Lord is unlimited, and therefore His desires are also unlimited, and the supply is also unlimited. Everything being unlimited, it is consciously described here as sarva kamam, or full with all desirable equipment. Om adnyan timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuron militamena tasmai shri gurve nama nama om vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नितिनामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछा कल्प तरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधु वेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो I'm grateful that I've been given the chance to sit over here and share whatever is my understanding. At the same time, grateful to all of you to have come so eagerly, early morning, Sunday morning. Anyway, we'll begin today's shloka's discussion. So, Lord Shri Krishna is entering His palace, and palaces, 16,000 palaces, and they are full all of opulences which are described in detail in 10th canto. But here Prabhupada says the palaces are full of gold and jewels and marble and silk and everything. All the 16,000 palaces. And not only that, even other palaces in Dwarka of all other residences, All of other residents were also equally opulent. Although here we have description of Krishna's palaces. And in the latter part of the purport, Prabhupada gives some understanding about it. In the initial part, he describes the opulences of the palace. In the latter part, he gives some description like Supreme Lord Bhagwan means all powerful, all opulent, all energy, all knowledge, all beauty, all renunciation. After that, he says, therefore, in the palaces of the Lord, Lord Krishna has unlimited desires. And therefore, the supply in his, for him is also unlimited. I'll read that sentence. The first, the Lord is unlimited. And therefore, his desires are also unlimited. And the supply is also unlimited. In Kali Yuga, people, only one thing is common. They have unlimited desires. They are neither unlimited and their supply is also not unlimited. So you can say material world, the desires are unlimited, but the power and the supply is limited or very much limited. And with the passing, every passing day of Kali Yuga, the desires are becoming, they are increasing even though they are unlimited. And the supply is getting lesser and lesser. So, that is Kali Yuga. Actually, because we have heard this shloka, Om Purnam Adha, Purnam Idam, Purnat Purnam Udachyate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Evava Shishyate. This material world actually need not be so bad. Just now we heard, the desires are unlimited, human beings, but the supply and the power is limited. So, but at the same time, if we see, this material world is a creation of Supreme Lord. And it is not only just a creation, but this Ishvapanishad says, Lord Krishna is perfect and complete. And so is the world also perfect and complete. Purnam Adha, Purnam Idam. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. So, actually the material world need not be so restrictive for humans to exist. It not be so much scarcity as we feel it is there, or it is there in some way in the material world. Because the Supreme Lord's power is unlimited, his supply is also unlimited. So we see material world, it doesn't look to be like that. Everything looks to be limited. It seems that there are very less resources and all the humans and all the countries are fighting over few common resources available. Agreed, it is appearing to be like that today. Somebody may say it is because of population increase. But the nature is actually very much powerful enough. In Satyuga, not that population was less. Here in Dwapar Yuga, 17 auctioneer senas, 18 auctioneer senas in the battlefield of Kurukshetra alone. And those who know, Jarasandha attacked Shri Krishna something 17 times or something like that. 17 times, yeah. And each time he got 21 auctioneer senas. So, each time he got army which was more than combined army of Pandavas and Kauravas. And like that he brought 17 times. So, if we think that population is high only at the current date, it's not so. There were times in the past in Satyayuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, the population will always go up and go down. Sometimes it will be wars and diseases, the population will go down. Again it will go up, again it will go down. Not that what it is today is the highest population ever in the history. If we think, that is an illusion. If we think today's population is the highest population ever in the history of humankind or the existence of the earth, and therefore the supply is so less, not that way. And certainly what to speak of population in Dwarka city alone, Krishna's 16,000 queens, then their whole family, and then so many other Yadus also, each having, and so many cows, and in Vrindavan, and there was not that the population was existing only in Vrindavan and Dwarka. All over earth, all over India. So, we may not be in the illusion that population, the current levels of population is the first time in the history of existence or creation, that therefore there are so much problems. No, population keeps on going up and down. I know since last 200-300 years is going up. Somewhere when the nature feels the need, making some diseases or wars or whatever it may be, it will go down. Again, it will go up. The population will keep going up and down. So that's not the problem for the scarcity. Neither is the creation a defective one. This material world, earth, is, or the universe or the earth, is not a defective one for scarcity in the surroundings. So what's the problem? Purnam adha, purnam idam, purnat purnam udachyate. Sometimes it's like this. We are searching for the problem. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? Then you understand we are the only problem. We keep on, hey, where is the way? So something like that we have to understand. The present consciousness, the behavior, the attitude, the thought processes of human beings is the problem. Material world is perfect. There is no defectiveness in the creation or the supply of material world. But today's human beings and their attitude and their behavior and their desires is the problem. Actually, those who study biology and like that, they did one study. There are so many species on earth. I am speaking about the science, not of 84 lakh species. That is a higher science, but still, even in the present day science. There are so many species, insects, this, that, so many things. And they found out, even if one species is removed from the earth, there will be some disturbance in the biocycle of interdependence of species and existing on each other. But only if humans are removed, then there will be no disturbance. In fact, the earth will become better and better. So that way the humans are the problems. We find earth is a problem, earth not being fertile is a problem, population is a problem, or deficient rainfall is the problem, or so many other things are the problem. But humans are actually the problem. I won't go into detail, but we can also think in those terms sometimes. If we can organize things in a better way, in a much with broader sense, like so many things. I just don't want to go into detail of all those things, but just one or two points in my mind. Once I did some calculation, I did around 10 years back, something like that. So I don't have the exact numbers. But it was found out that the area under tobacco cultivation in India, tobacco, which is not a necessity, which is not a necessity for human existence, is so much, and they also, we need some to put some water and we have to work hard to like sow them and grow them and harvest them. Is so much that just by growing grains with the same effort and same land, we can feed any big state of India. So one big state can be fed fully only if we replace the tobacco by grains. Same effort, same water, nothing. No need to do any extra effort. No need to get some extra water to, irrigate the fields. Something like that. Now, sometimes we see they make big highways. Aside of the highways, they plant trees. But Prabhupada would sometimes say that previously also kings would plant trees, but they would plant nice fruit-giving trees. So just think, such length and breadth of all highways, so many trees. The government is already spending on planting trees, on watering them through the tankers you have seen. Now they take good care of it. The trees grow big. All these trees, if they make into some chikku trees, mango trees, peru trees, how can there be scarcity? The fruits, people say to eat fruits is very costly. Yeah, because we are putting money and energy on planting trees which are not fruit bearing. Sometimes people say, some government people say, hey, if we plant fruit bearing trees, somebody will steal it. Somebody means what? Indian citizens, na? Who will steal them? No, you are spending money and nothing is coming out of it. So even if the Indian citizens on that part of the road steal the fruits, let them steal. In the sense, it's not stealing in one sense that way. But even if they steal, let them steal. Indian citizens are doing it. Some So let them have, let the Indian citizens get the free fruits. All over highway they are making and putting some big trees to beautify it or to shade it, but none of them are fruit trees. Or in the previous times, your banyan trees is a different topic. I won't go into that detail, like how banyan trees itself are very much useful to the nature. But forget banyan trees right now for the discussion. If the so many parks, I ask the question, why don't you plant some fruit trees here? No, people will come and steal it. Your locality people will do it. Not that if the park is here, somebody from Delhi is going to come and steal the. He is also Indian anyway. But then, if the park is in Chowpatty, let the Chowpatty children take the fruits, pluck them and eat it. You are anyway spending money and energy. So if we, actually the problem is not the nature. The problem is we. Nature is complete and perfect. Purnam adha, purnam idam, purnat purnam udachyate. Purnasya purnam adaya. So, here we are hearing the description and how the supply in the Dwarka was so much unlimited. I would like to make a point, not only in Dwarka, even on the earth it is unlimited. In the sense, to good extent. It is there much more than what the human population needs. I would say something like that. The supply on the earth of basic human necessities today is much, much, much more, multiple of times much more what the human society needs. Only thing, we have to have some right attitude. We are anyway spending money, so let somebody take it. Let our neighbors have it. Let the Indian citizens have it. So something like that, we have to learn that some change is need to be on our side. Okay, in the part one, I will discuss something about gross behavior mistakes. Part two, I will discuss about this attitude behavior mistake. So I'll changing of attitudes. From that, I will come to the changing of habits on the physical level in the part one, because that is creating scarcity, diseases, and all these things. So let's come to the just few examples. What descriptions from the Shastras. It is said that in the Satyayuga, like today if we see, the earth is covered with soil. Nowadays we have to change. It is covered with plastics. Now slowly it's increasing. Slowly the area of plastics on the earth is increasing. It's not yet covered with plastic. But if we see all over, there is litter of plastics in the cities, in the villages, in the highways, in the fields, in the holy places, in the rivers. So yes, it is getting more and more covered with plastics, but we can say it is covered with earth, soil. It is described in Satyayuga, the earth would give so much grains without tilling the land. That also without tilling the land, that the earth would be covered with grains. So you are walking and there are just grains below your feet. So don't think that is possible only in Satyayuga. That is possible in Kali Yuga. But we have to change our habits and attitudes. Right now, initially, I'm just describing that this is not some fairy. We think this is fairy tale. But for that, we have to learn to live what we call it eco-friendly, or we have to learn to have right attitude in tune with nature and right habits in tune with nature. See, because I would say, summarize with one sentence, one should not conflict with nature. See, nature means is Krishna's energy. Krishna is unlimited, his energy is unlimited. Purnam adha, purnam idam. So one should not conflict. In Marathi, you can call it shangarsh mat karo. Sahakarya karo. Cooperate. We have to learn to live with cooperation with nature. And nature means Krishna's energy. So when I say nature is ultimately Krishna's energy, it's not separate from Krishna. It's Krishna's energy. So certainly, if we start conflicting with nature or Krishna's energy, means Krishna's plan for the human society, two things will happen. Immediately, once we start conflicting with nature, the supply will be withheld. And second, because one is conflict with the supply will be withheld, and another type of conflict we do with the nature, when we manipulate the nature, the natural gifts which are so merciful, beneficial for the human beings, we manipulate them, and the same gifts of nature we make them harmful and bad for the human being. So we should understand the nature, and if we stop conflicting with the nature, even in the present society or the present earth, abundance can come. Today we'll feel fairy tale, aise kaise bhai, all over the earth covered with grains. It's not possible. Ye to aise ek shastra mein kya bolte hai, mythology batne. No, it's not mythology. We need to have people write that. When the people are in total cooperation, we call it aajkal ki bhasha sync. When the people are in total sync with the nature, the supply will be unlimited, it will be abundant, and if we learn how to be in sync with nature, the natural gifts which they come to us won't harm us, in fact, strengthen us. So we'll discuss about the physical part in the beginning today. So what does sync in nature mean? Basically, minimum exploitation and minimum manipulation. Nature has given us, don't try to get more than that. If you try to get more than that, nature will restrict. If you are happy with what is given, next time, next cycle, nature will give more. Then the next cycle, the nature will give more. Then the next cycle, if we just accept what the nature is giving us today, the next cycle, nature will give more. But today's society is too exploitative. They want more. Put in fertilizers, put in this, drill so much, dig deep down the earth, 1 kilometer, 2 kilometer, 5 kilometer in the earth, just to get some gold and some oil, and so many things. Then the nature will start withdrawing. And if we accept what the nature has given us now, slowly down the years, within few years, not in the next generation or next to next generation, slowly, we can see even the next year, after 5-10 years, if the human society or even individual slowly changes, nature will start giving more and more. So we have to stop exploiting. And second is manipulating. Manipulating means to accept the way nature has given us, and that's it. No need to have our unlimited desires. Nature has given us, accept it. That's, we call it Mother Nature. Mother Nature we call it. So Mother will give us what is good for us, and she will not give us what is not good for us. Just like our own mothers do. So what does I mean? Exploitation? Not. Yeah, exploitation I already explained. Be satisfied with whatever and however the nature is providing. That is exploitation. Don't try to pull more out of it. The day we start doing it, the nature will start restricting the supply in the future. Next is manipulation. Accept the way it is. One is quantity and one is the quality or the way it is. So quantity, be happy. If we are happy today, next year we'll get more. Very next year. After 5 years we'll get much more. Like one point I would like, okay, about this quantity, okay, I go about this quality or the type. For example, there are some fruits which are seasonal. And some fruits like banana, and they are all around the year. But seasonal fruits are like mango and what else? Grapes, yeah, grapes. So there are some fruits which are seasonal. So basically we should understand that the Mother Nature means the Krishna's intelligence is supreme. So yes, you have desires to eat mangoes, eat it. For that 1.5 months, each area it may be different, somewhere it may be April, May, north it may be June, July, north, whatever in your area. Whatever the mangoes come, some year they come less, some year they come more, whatever it may be, have them to the full extent. But don't try to be supreme intelligence, to pack them, to do this to them. No, material nature has not done that. When we try to manipulate any gifts of nature, the wonderful, helpful, beautiful, beneficial gifts, will change into not being beneficial and harmful. So we have to have this some common sense understanding. Yes, grapes, I think they come in, they start at Feb in Maharashtra and then they go until March and mid-April. Mid-Feb to mid-April are 2 months. And then mid-April mango starts, they go till mid-May and then mid-June. So like that. So yes, take it. But then you may say, oh, so much industry will go down. Do you want well-being of the human society? Health of the human society, or just when the nature has given grapes, eat it? Some minimum adjustment, if I would say why you want to do that, but if someone wants to do, see, the, okay, that will come in the after some time. Oh, food in mode of goodness. The nature's produce is in goodness. So the moment we start doing manipulation, even little, it starts turning into passion. And more manipulation, the same things become ignorant. You have to understand that. Nature's arrangement, when I say nature is Krishna's arrangement, is wonderful, best. Most of the things are in goodness. We start manipulating for using it when the nature is not providing, like packing and everything. It becomes passionate. Then the results will be, as Krishna says, passion results are disease and misery. And then you may go to ignorant if you do lot of manipulation. So much processing and so much this, then the same thing, wonderful thing will become into ignorant. Very bad for consciousness, bad for health, bad for the supply chain again. So anyway, I'll come to that point. But that's how, basically, not manipulate means accept the way it is. Mangoes are in mid-April to mid-June. Okay. Then be patient for the next mid-April. Grapes are from mid-Feb to mid-April. Okay. Then let's be patient till next mid-Feb. So that's how we have to live in sync with nature. The moment we try to do manipulation, we try to do exploitation, and the two things happen, as I said. The moment we try to do exploitation, manipulation, the supply is restricted and the beneficial things become unbeneficial. Good things become bad in the sense they become passionate and ignorant in due course of time, the more we manipulate. So basically, somebody may ask why all this is required. I will, in the after some time, I'll quote one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto also, why Srila Prabhupada says, why all this discussion is required for devotees. It is. I will come to that point. But basically, if we want to have peaceful, joyful spiritual life, one need not go into so much exploitation and manipulation of nature. The moment we start doing it, using it, accepting it, it won't be good for spiritual life, neither for brahmachari life. Brahmachari doesn't mean only those who are in saffron. As Srila Prabhupada says, there are also grihastha brahmacharis. They are grihasthas, but they have restricted or regulated life in their grihastha family also. So when I say brahmacharis, it's for grihastha brahmacharis also, and it's for brahmachari brahmacharis also. And for men also, and for women also. If you want to advance in spiritual life, then certainly, the more we follow, more we live in sync with nature, it will help us not to advance spiritually. So, like I would just say, don't think that Vedas tell some imaginary things. We have to learn how it is happening with the help of sync with energy. Like we have heard, all of us have heard about Surbhi cows, wish fulfilling cows. And we may think, sorry. It's good to hear in Mahabharata, Ramayana, or whatever it may be, Valmiki Muni Katha. How can cow be a wish fulfilling? From a cow, you get a Peru. You can get an army. Vasishtha Muni got it. It's possible. Prabhuji, abhi kya aap pagal ho gaye? Matlab abhi tak to theek tha kuch. Cow ko wish fulfilling? Yes, it is said in the scriptures. When, I don't know, I forgot the exact, but it's in crores. When there is like 2 or 3 crore, maybe little bit number, but it's in crores. When that many crore cows are maintained with total, basically with full respect and honor. When the cows we keep it, it is full, they are the kings. No unnecessary, like, no neglecting them, no beating them. They are the kings. Like in the Vrindavan, they can just go around wherever they want. And also physical, not restriction, and mental also, no, like you say, hey, chal side la ho, or something like that. When the cows, that many crores of cows, are maintained with full respect, worship, honor, and love for seven generations, then a chance is there that one cow can come out as Surabhi cow. It's not imaginary. I know it's very difficult to try it out today, but it's not imaginary. I know one place, generally those who know about cows, something, I don't know, that the cow gives a birth to a calf, and then she gives milk for a few months, 8-10 months, and then when the calf grows, the cow's milk goes down, and for her to give milk, again she has to become pregnant. That's the general things that happen in earth at the present day. But one place I know, not Surabhi cow, sorry, don't be eager. One place I know that how the nature can make things wonderful. There were devotees who were actually keeping only few cows, maybe 50, 100, something like that. But with, as I said, with quite high degree of love, respect, care and attention. And two cows over there, it happened that they gave birth to a calf and then they started milking and they never stopped milking for years together. That itself is a big thing, even in the present day scenario. So if something can happen only with a 50 or 100 cows being taken care of with full love and respect, a Surabhi cow is possible. It's not imaginary. But we have to learn how to be in sync with nature. How to be have that right attitude, which I will be talking sometime later, and right physical things. So basically, just like we hear sometimes, so even a cow giving milk for years together, I don't know, I have not heard it anywhere, even in the present day society. It gives for a year, maybe a year and a half. And that also the quantity goes on decreasing after a few months of the calf birth. But it happened. In last 10, 20 years it happened. Not some 200 years back or 500 years back. So when we live, the mother nature or the earth or the Krishna energy has so much wonderful unlimited supplies. Only thing we have to learn, if you want unlimited supplies from cows, you have to worship them unlimitedly. Like nowadays they say, especially the Vedic cows, they give less milk. That's also another science. As I said, the moment we try to get more, Om Esha Vashtam Idam Sarvam, nature first thing it starts is, it starts restricting. We start getting, trying to squeeze more out, nature starts restricting. But it is said that when a calf is born, the first month, we have to allow it to drink as much milk from the mother as it wants. 28 days. Month means 4 weeks. Some people, those who kill the cows, they tell, hey, if you do that, the calf will get dysentery. But then those who are experts, they say, yes, it will get dysentery. Or in your case, it gets dysentery. Because what happens in the present day, from the first day or the second day, the calf is fed only in the morning and evening. So, the calf starts thinking that this is the chance. I should drink milk as much as possible. And then that results into dysentery. But if the calf is given whole day, at least 3-4 times, if not continuously whole day, then the calf knows, thoda bhook lagta hai, toh milk milega, toh thoda hi piyega. Jisse usko dysentery hoga nahi. But when the calf is in fear, hey, this is no, after that next 12 hours I have to be hungry and I have to wait. That we have to do. But after 1.5-2 months of birth, when the calf starts eating grass outside. But the initial day, so when it is said that if we do that, the next generation cow will give a little more milk. If this generation, because we have to correct the wrongs which we have done. the wrongs have been, we have started exploiting, like taking, giving less to calf, taking more for us. That has been happening for many generations. So at least it is said, if seven generations we can do that, if seven generations we can feed the calf the milk, water it wants, each generation the milk yield will go on increasing. And then after seven generations we can have a policy as per the Vedas and then it will remain at a high level. So yes, wrong has been done for generations. The correction will take generations. But don't blame the nature that the cows give less milk. Blame us. Nature is not the problem. We, our attitudes, our lack of understanding of nature is the problem. Nature is not the problem. The problem is we. So anyway, so these descriptions of the scriptures, especially of the past ages, of unlimited supply of nature's gifts, gold and everything, we hear, I was hearing about Krishna, reading about Krishna's birth in Srimad Bhagavatam and Anandan Champu and like that. Nanda Maharaj gave out, or Vasudeva gave out 1 lakh cows. All the cows, the horns were covered with gold, diamond and gold necklace in every cow's neck. The hooves were plated with silver. To do this for 1 lakh cows, I think whole Mumbai's gold will be required, something like that. Or maybe more than that. And that's just Nanda Maharaj doing it to 1 lakh cows and donating them. So how much he has? So it will be like that even today. If we have the right attitude. Then the nature will just start manifesting unlimited supply. Don't think these are all fairy tales. So anyway, to understand this, to begin with, we have to have two corrections in attitude. Actually, that's a common in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, shloka number 8 to 12, where Krishna says, what is knowledge? Lord Krishna says, what is knowledge? The first thing he says is, amanitvam, pridelessness. Pride means I and I. Pride means I and mine. So if we actually want to have the real knowledge, if we are proud or egoistic, just be clear, we can't have the real knowledge. It's just simply not possible. As a sadhak devotee also and as a outside scientist also. If we are proud and egoistic, we can have some knowledge, but not the best and real knowledge. Even you might be devotees, or you may not be devotee. Whatever it may be. It's not, Gita is not telling about devotees and non-devotees. It is telling amanitvam, which is applicable to everyone. Adambhitvam, non-duplicity, ahimsa, shanti, peacefulness, sense control, indriyartheshu cha vairagyam. The moment we have ego or pride, and unlimited desires for pleasure, we will not get the right knowledge. We will not get the right understanding even of the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Why we will not get? Because we will start seeing even the shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita tainted by our pride and material desires. Like this, today's people, they want to have so much relationship with opposite sex, men, women. So when they see Krishna's pastimes marrying 16,000 queens, they think in those terms. It's just like one story we have heard. Sorry, a little story, and then we'll come back to the topic. That is, there were one businessman who was very attached, and then his children were thinking, my father is becoming so old. He's still so much attached to money and position and property. He should advance spiritually. So they tried to call many saintly people. And still, he was focused on earning more money. Ultimately, one sadhu came. He said, hey, you come with me. We'll travel all over the world. So he said, okay, let me go. So this businessman was a big cloth merchant. So he went. Ultimately, they went to Kashi. If you know Kashi, there is this ghat, Manikarnik ghat, where continuously burning of dead bodies happen. Any person who dies in that Kashi district, they bring it over there. So it's a continuous burning. So that sadhu was sitting in meditation. That businessman also sat beside. Sometimes the sadhus meditate on continuously burning dead bodies. So after 1, 2, 3 days, this businessman had tears in his eyes. So sadhu thought, no, he's developing some renunciation, some vairagya. Oh, I wasted my life. Then he asked, oh, what happened? What is your realization of 4 days of seeing burning bodies? He said, I wasted my life. Sadhu said, wonderful. He said, what happened? I wasted my life having cloth business. If I thought or knew that there is so much demand of wood here, I would have opened a wood shop over here. I wasted my life. So, the point is, if we have pride or ego or material desires, either of them or both of them, even if we see something good, a good shloka of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, or any good instruction, or any good, like we call it, Shubhashit or something like that, then we'll unconsciously, not consciously, we don't have to do it consciously, unconsciously we'll understand it tints with our ego, pride and our sense gratification desires. And therefore, if we actually want to understand these meanings of Vedic scriptures, we have to see to it that we are more and more free from the desires of sense gratification. And more and more, then therefore, it's not like born Brahmanas or caste Brahmanas, qualified Brahmanas. So that's why it was said that the Vedic scripture should be read by Brahmanas, means qualified Brahmanas, who are free from the desires of sense gratification, pride and ego. Because they can understand. They can understand the knowledge. It's not like, again, some special group's prerogative. No, you become renounced, you become sense controlled, you become prideless, you read Vedic scriptures. No problem in that. The point is that way. So I would just like to take one topic, and this will be although it will take few minutes, a topic on the gross wrong habits. And before we end up, we'll also try to understand the wrong, subtle, conditions. Subtleness of the mind and ego. So gross. I would like to quote a shloka here. How we can misunderstand a shloka of Bhagavad Gita. Because we have to have some knowledge. I am quoting from 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Which is like Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Three divisions of faith. In that I am quoting especially the shloka where Krishna is telling the food in mode of goodness. Many of you might be knowing it. Ayu sattva balarogyam sukha priti vivardhana rasya stigda stira rudya ahara satvika priya. I'll read the translation. Food dear to those in mode of goodness increase the duration of life. Ayuhu. Purify one's existence, sattva. Purify your consciousness. Balarogyam, give strength and health. And then, sukha priti vivardhana, happiness and satisfaction. Satisfaction is different from sense pleasure. Maybe some interactive. How is satisfaction different from sense pleasure? When we satisfy the senses, it is pleasurable, but it is not satisfaction. Yes, anyone would like to say, but there is a difference between satisfaction and sense pleasure. Yes? We satisfy the senses, we want more. Satisfying things are also tasty, but they satisfy you. And sense pleasurable things are also thought to be tasty, but they don't satisfy you. You crave for more. You demand for more. You want more even when you don't need them more. satisfying things are also tasty. But you don't crave for them even if you don't need them. Actually, no, because this point has come here, put up. आगे एक मैं पॉइंट बोलने आता अभी बोलता हूं फिर आगे वापस बोलूंगा. हाँ, दोस थिंग्स विच आर सेंस प्लेजरेबल थिंग्स आर एडिक्टिव इन नेचर. व्हाट इज एडिक्टिव? शैल वी हैव सम अल्कोहल टेस्ट विथ हियर लाइक लिटमस टेस्ट. हाउ टू अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट इज एडिक्टिव इन फॉर लाइक नो वी आर टॉकिंग ऑफ फूड. सो व्हाट इज द फूड एंड ड्रिंक्स विच आर एडिक्टिव इवन दोज विच मे बी अराउंड अस इवन टूडे दे मे बी ऑफर्ड. हाँ, दे आर नॉट इन मूड ऑफ गुडनेस. How to understand which of them are addictive in nature? Simple. We see Vedic scriptures give the simple test. They don't need complicated machines and laboratories and industries to understand. What is addictive in nature? I spoke hint now about your point. Satisfying and pleasurable. The foods you like. So I'm talking about only those foods you like. Means those are satisfying, not pleasurable. The foods you like, which you won't eat when the stomach is full, are not addictive in nature. Please try to understand, a little complex sentence. Food which you like, but you won't eat. Ek baar pet bhar gaya, toh abhi nahi, bhai baad mein. But those foods which you like, and then you can, ek extra de do, pet bhar gaya, chalta hai, aaj ke din chalta hai. Then they are addictive in nature. Little or more. But actually those who are not addictive in nature and beneficial in nature, I am not talking about the food those you don't like. Who will eat extra? No one will eat. I am talking about the foods which you like. But we won't take more once the stomach is full. They are non-addictive and beneficial foods. And if you can take an extra helping, because your mind wants that. That becomes into addictive field. Which is nice, which you like, which is good for your body. When the body is full, body doesn't want it. And it says, no, I am enough, Paroji. Sorry. I experienced that. When the good foods which are tasty, they are too tasty. Too tasty. Super tasty. But the stomach is full, we say, no, enough. Abhi nahi chahiye mere ko. Baad mein dekhenge. But other foods which are not satisfying but which are addictive in nature or sense-satisfying, gratifying. Haan, Prabhuji, gulab jam. Aray, pet bhar gaya. Aray, le lo. Aray, theek hai, abhi chalega. So that breaks or that divides into addictive nature, which we crave. When we don't get them, we crave. And one form of craving is to take them when we don't need them. It is another form of craving. One form of craving is to think of them when we don't have it. That is also craving. Another form of craving is to take it when we don't need it. So those foods are addictive in nature and not in mode of goodness. So these basic things we have to understand. So anyway, translation. Purify one's life, happiness. Okay, we came to satisfaction and then we came here. We diverted from the translation. We come back to translation. Foods dear, I am beginning from the again, from the start. Foods dear to those in mode of goodness, increase the duration of life, purify one's existence, give strength, health, happiness, satisfaction. These are the qualities. What are little grosser things? Such foods are juicy, fatty, wholesome, pleasing to the heart. Prabhupada or the Vedic scriptures and other points add sweet, also, sweet and fatty. So, if because in the current age, we have so much unlimited desires, I told in the beginning, Krishna's time, unlimited desires, unlimited power, unlimited supply. For us, we have very limited power. What we have is only unlimited desires, limited power and limited supply. Because we have wrong type of desires. There is no problem to have a happy, pleasurable life. But you should know what should be that happy, pleasurable life. There is no problem in that. So, Srila Prabhupada, some places Prabhupada says sweet, some places he says molasses. Molasses is like some condensed sugar cane juice. Liquid jaggery, I would say. Something like that. So, Actually, if we have unlimited desires to enjoy, we can take any food of the world and prove that it is fatty, sweet, and like that, and make it say it is in mode of goodness. Sorry, it won't work that way. Because it won't give you happiness, satisfaction, health, duration of life. Which is already being told. So how to judge? Okay, you have some sweet in front of you. Or some fatty thing in front of you. That way, okay, first thing is, Prabhupada says, animal fat is removed. Why it is removed? Yahan pe to nahi likha hai. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Yome pakte aprachati. So animal fat is removed. So just like here fatty is mentioned, but we are using the logic and from other places of scriptures to remove the animal fat. Otherwise animal fat should also be in mode of goodness. It is not. Krishna has told, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti. So we are plant-based. So actually if we are desired, so because sometimes now I heard about 10 years back and that just struck me and made me wonder how to answer that. Some persons just brought most manipulated foodstuffs and said, this is in goodness. I did not say, but he said, why? It is fatty, it is sweet, it is juicy. I said, but it's not in goodness. So how to find out what is in goodness? Sweet is, you have something in front. Manipulation, we can even take a liquor and add some sugar and say it is juicy and sweet. So does that liquor become in mode of goodness? We can say no, but yeah, it's juicy and it's sweet because I added some sugar in that. No, it's sweet and it's juicy, but it's not in mode of goodness. See, first, ek to point maine addictive ka bol diya, wo wapas bolne wala. Before you are saying anything fatty, first, Krishna is not speaking of all the Kali Yuga brains which will make so many manipulations from what the nature has given us. Nature ne kuch diya, usko kato, usko boil karo, usko fry karo, usko chips karo, usko ye karo. Krishna is telling or talking of the foods which he has given. The foods which Krishna has given amongst those and in the forms like that, not manipulating the form, but minimum manipulation, ideally zero. जो स्वरूप में भगवान में दिया है वो ही स्वरूप में जो फूड फैटी या स्वीट या जूसी रहेगा उसको हमको सत्वगुण में हम स्वीकार कर सकते अभी तो नहीं तो वील जस्ट स्क्वीज सम फैट बर्न इट केमिकली मैनिपुलेट इट इट मे अपीयर टू बी फैट बट इट वोंट रिमेन इन मोड ऑफ गुडनेस बिकॉज इट वोंट बी हेल्दी इट वोंट बी सेटिस्फाइंग It will be addictive. It will be addictive in nature. So yes, ayu, sattva, bala, rogi. What the point I am coming? If we are egoistic, pride, and if we are sense gratification desire, even the right shloka like this, food in mode of goodness, can be, what do you call it? Manipulated to make a wrong understanding. So therefore, if we want to have real knowledge, we have to be free from sense gratification desire. More the better and free from pride and ego. Otherwise, we can just... So therefore, okay. So now, two tests. First, Krishna is not talking about, Are you may take something and manipulate it so much and make it into something. And just because it is sweet, we call it Satvagun. No. Krishna is talking of sweet things which he has made sweet. In the form which he has made. The way he has made, the time which he has made. That is sync with nature. Like we take the example of grapes of mangoes, which are sweet. So those are in mode of goodness, only when there's those 2 months. That time you have it. So we have, but if you have unlimited desires, merko, maybe bhi karna hai, ye bhi karna hai, wo bhi karna hai, then we start manipulating, we start first making the juice, then we start adding chemicals, then we start adding preservatives, then we start adding some nitrogen gas and this and that. And then the more we transform it, the more it moves away from goodness to passion to ignorance. And instead of the same wonderful mangoes or grapes or perus or grains being beneficial, In mode of goodness, ayu, sattva, bala, arogyam, sukha, priti, vivardhana, it will go on doing opposite. Means it will become passionate, it will be little opposite, it will become ignorant, it will be more opposite. But we have so much desires to satisfy ourselves. We are addicted, to be honest. The whole earth is a big addiction today. Not to liquor, maybe to liquor also. But, as I said, any food. It may be packaged, it may be this chips, it may be that, it may be even rasgulla, or it may be gulab jam. That you will accept in your plate when the stomach is full. That is addictive. That doesn't mean non-addictive foods need not be tasty. Krishna has not said that. It's our intelligence. It's our brain to find out that how the non-addictive foods can be made super tasty, and there are methods, but they are not addictive. They are not addictive. But they can be super, super tasty. It's possible. It's possible. So that's the test. Two things. Before we move ahead of this shloka, the way Krishna has given, the time Krishna has given, take it in the same form. Like sugar cane is there, eat it. At the most, you can go till jaggery. Not best, but that's more. If you go further, it will certainly go into passionate and ignorant, and it won't be remain anywhere. Ayu, sattva, bala, arogyam. It will be sweet. It will be sweet, but it won't be ayu, sattva, bala, arogyam. So best is sugar cane, best is fruits. Have it. Scarcity is there because of wrong policies, wrong... I said so much plants, people plant in the gardens. None of them plant any fruit plants. What is the problem? There is scarcity because of the attitudes of human beings. No scarcity in the nature. This thing, all over the roads, all over the gardens. What are few gardens are there? In the compounds of the gardens, the boundaries. If fruit trees are planted, it may be chikku, any fruit. So much abundance of fruits will be there. And when the supply increases, the prices go down. Simple. It will become free. It will become free. But, kya kare? People plant trees which don't give fruits. Prabhupada pointed out that when he went to US. So, anyway. Now we move on to the last small part. Okay. I already told. I wanted to quote a shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Somebody asked, why this discussion in Srimad Bhagavatam? Is it not some Ayurvedic class or something like that? Or some naturopathic? Yeah, it's that way, but the discussion is there. In first canto, third chapter, 44th shloka, that is the last shloka of third chapter, first canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should hear with rapt attention from the real person, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he can at once realize the presence of Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned here. What is the secret? Hear with rapt attention. Then where is the 14 mode of goodness coming here, Baba? Or whatever we discussed now. It comes, Prabhupada says, no one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. Prabhupada says, no one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. And no one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So I know there is sleeping, mating, defending also. But there is eating also. So that's how these discussions may not be the, like, without this, you cannot attend pure devotion. Maybe someone can, a very rare person here and there. But generally, it won't happen that way. Like Prabhupada said, one person here and there can get honorary BA without studying and going to college. But generally, all have to go to the college and study, and then only will get the BA or BCom or whatever it may be. Similarly, this is not the main criteria of spiritual life, but it is a very, very important for those who want to practice spiritual life. Just okay, the second part of today's talk. One is pure food or pure habits. Just 10 minutes I will take, not long, maybe this topic can be taken some other time. But because I mentioned I will take in 10 minutes. We have to have pure mind also. We just heard. Certainly pure mind will come from pure eating, sleeping, meeting, defending. But pure mind is also a part of it. Pure consciousness. So what does it mean? Pure food will lead to pure consciousness. But what does it mean? What is like natural pure consciousness? If we see in that Upadesh Amrut, one who chants the holy name, we should offer obeisance in the mind. Krishneti yasya manasad griyeta. One who has taken diksha and who chants regularly, we should do dandavat pranam. And who is the advanced devotee? Anya nindadi shunya ishtita sandhyalabhva. The purity of mind is to completely abstain from criticizing, fault finding and ridiculing other people, other human beings, other devotees. This is what? Like impurities, food is there. Impurity, if you see, go in the outside world, what are the people doing? What are people doing? They are criticizing or they are joking on someone, some neighbor, some staff in the office or some student or some sir or some man or woman or relative. And all, we see most comedy in today's world, in any TV picture or anyone, comedy is not wrong. Laughter is not bad. But most comedies in today's world, in the media and in our life, are at other person's cost. We laugh or we joke when something bad happens to something. He falls down or something like that. That need not be a comedy. But we had an attitude. Most comedies in the movies and the serials and all those are, most, not all, most are like that. Humor. We ridicule them in sort. Koi phisal ke gir gaya. We laugh at it. Not a good attitude. That is not the right attitude for the human being. There is nothing to laugh just because someone slipped and fall down. We may see, arre gir gaya, but usko koi laga nahi hai zyada. Arre, we, the natural reaction is we laugh at him. Maybe we care if he has, usse ke haath paav tod gaya, toh we will go and help. But tab tak nahi toh, we just, generally what we do is laugh. No. Why we should laugh? But that's what we do. Most of the people in the world do. That is ridiculing because that is the offensive mentality. We think, what's the problem? He fell down. So I laugh. So that's the problem. That's not the right attitude. And sometimes we may do the something. Somebody may do a serious, a bigger mistake. Like somebody may break the regulatory principles. No, I'm talking about devotees. Or even people around us. Somebody make a regular principle of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meditating. He may indulge in drinking or illicit sex or something like that. And then, most of us, our attitude is to talk about it, to discuss about it. And that attitude while discussing is, how he is not a good devotee, or how did he did that mistake. There is an element of ridicule or criticism, or showing him down, and that is not a good attitude for the mind. Because if till we have that attitude, Krishna's mercy won't come. Please listen to this last sentence, not last, important, but I'm ending sentence very carefully. A person who does some mistake of illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meditating, can be easily excused and he can be reinstated in his position in devotional service. But one who laughs or jokes or criticizes, his future is very bleak. His future is very, very bleak. Certainly, one incident happened during Srila Prabhupada's time also. I won't name, but there are two sannyasis. One of them, he was preaching in one part of the world and he got attached to a woman and he accepted and he got married. Ideally, sannyasi should not, but he married. Okay. But there was another sannyasi. He took the opportunity and sent. That time there was, fortunately, there was no WhatsApp and like that. There were telegraphs. I don't know. younger generation may not even know the telegraphs. But there was tar, the tick, 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 tick printing would come home. I have seen that. So telegraphs were there. In Marathi we call it, or Hindi we call it tar. So he telegraphed all over the world. Hey, this sannyasi had an affair with a woman and he is no more and all these things and etc, etc, etc. So Prabhupada said very clearly that a sannyasi who had an affair, yes, it's unfortunate that he became a guruastha, but he'll continue in his Krishna consciousness. And one is criticizing or just like chit-chatting about him, unnecessarily sending the word all over the world, he will have problems in his spiritual life. And that's what happened. Within a year or two, that sannyasi who got married is still a very wonderful Krishna conscious, performing sadhana nicely, nice devotee. This is now 25, 30 years old. During Prabhupada's time, maybe more than that. But one who criticized, not even criticized, he just sent the word all over the world without being told to, on his own. Arey, malum hai, telegraph to all the centers, is gone. You may say, what's wrong? He just informed the truth. But it was not necessary. He did not, the language what was criticizing or insulting. But it was not, it was like, you know, like chit-chatting, telegraph chit-chatting. And then, Prajalpa. And that sannyasi, yes, after within like 1 year or something like that, he also fell away from Krishna consciousness. And for 30 years, no one knows what he is doing and how Krishna consciousness. So we should understand. Laughing at others' cost, that means we call it ridiculing, which also leads to criticizing or fault finding, is a big anti-natural attitude. We discuss anti-natural foods and like that. Anti-natural mental is criticizing others. And when we criticize so many, also on the physical part, like diseases like, nowadays they call it autoimmune or something like that. Actually, if our attitude is not to love other human beings, always speak, sorry, aisa hai, wo aisa hai, isne aise kiya, we just start negative, that same things happen on a cellular and organic level in our body. Don't think it would not happen. Same attitudes, each cell develops. And they start criticizing, arey, ye cell aisa hai, wo cell aisa hai. They don't criticize, but that is the vibrations they pick up. And if we always have such vibrations, he is bad, he is bad, he is bad, he is wrong, he is bad, then we suddenly have conflicts with everyone. And same thing when it happens within the body, we call it autoimmune. So we start confronting within the body with our immune system starts fighting ourselves. So, just like that. So, this criticizing, laughing at others, always speaking, it is like that. It may be true. It may be true. I'm not saying it is false, it is true. But if we always have that thought in our mind, certainly it's bad for spiritual life and it's bad for our health. That's another topic, I won't go into that. And then always self-culture, I. And because of these mobiles and selfies, everyone is into I look that, I went here, I did that, tell the whole world by the status, I did, I went to Goa, on the trip to Goa, on the way to Udupi, on the way to this and that, and on the mountain, below the mountain, above the mountain. But what? I. Everywhere it is? I. It may seem very innocent. Kya problem hai, Prabhuji? Main Udupi gaya to train mein likha. Par har jagah pe main hi? Main Udupi gaya, main ye kiya, main Goa gaya, main Chembur gaya, main Kolhapur gaya, main pahad ke upar gaya, main swimming pool gaya. Arre, common is main. मैं वृंदावन गया ऐसे लाइक इस आई सेंटर एंड देन द कॉन्शियसनेस विल बी ऑलवेज आई सेंटर नॉट वेरी कंड्यूसिव फॉर स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ सो जस्ट टू एग्जांपल्स ऑफ दिस क्रिटिसिजम्स एंड वी एंड वी नो स्टोरी वर्ल्ड मेनी पीपल मे नॉट नो एनीथिंग अबाउट वेरी स्क्रिप्चर्स और मच अबाउट वेरी स्क्रिप्चर्स बट दे नो दिस स्टोरी Menaka attracting Vishwamitra. It's so famous. So quoted all over the world. Hare, that Vishwamitra, he was attracted by Menaka. Accepted. No one says no. Accepted. But you are stuck up over there in the action of Menaka and Vishwamitra. Where is Vishwamitra now? He has become the guru of Lord Ram. And what are you?
You are still stuck up in that Menaka Vishwamitra consciousness. Vishwamitra moved on. He moved on to become guru of Lord Ram. Lord Ram accompanied him to so many places, gave him special mercies. He gave him guidance. So Vishwamitra, even we agree, he did that mistake. He got attracted to Menaka, 100%. No, and that was not a right action. Agreed. But those who criticize, they are still in that pit of lust. And Vishwamitra, he corrected himself. He repented. He corrected. He did the what you call it, prayaschitta, atonement, correction of his attitude, and he went on to become the guru of Lord Ram. So please understand, doing a serious mistake may not restrict you from achieving perfection. But if you laugh at him, if you joke at that mistake and the person, that will certainly obstruct you from achieving perfection in spiritual life. Another case which is also very odd in the terms of morality. Vishwamitra went on to become what? One way guru of Lord Ram. Even though he did that mistake. But he had to correct it. Not without correcting he can do that. He corrected it. He did atonement, prayaschitta. He felt bad. He did whatever is required. Brahmaji, those who know this instance of Bhagavatam, he was attracted to his own daughter, which is not a very common thing, not a very good thing, a father getting attracted to his own daughter for lusty desires. But it happened to Brahmaji, and Brahmaji physically started walking behind the daughter. All the sages, they prayed, Brahmaji, what are you doing? You are Brahmaji, please stop. But there were the six sons of Marichi Muni. You may say, what's wrong? अरे कोई आदमी अपने लड़की के पीछे लस से भाग रहा है तो थोड़ा सा हंसा तो कुछ गलती हो गया. इज इट देखो कैसे भाग रहे अपने लड़की के पीछे. दैट्स वॉट मरीची कुमार डिड. दे जस्ट लाफ्ड एट ब्रह्मा जी रनिंग बिहाइंड और वॉकिंग बिहाइंड द डॉटर विथ लस. यस ब्रह्मा जी करेक्ट हिमसेल्फ. ही गेव दैट एटीट्यूड. ही चेंज हिज सटल बॉडी. ही गेव द सटल बॉडी. He went to become the acharya of a parampara from the four paramparas. And these Marichi Kumars, they had to become the sons of Kalnemi, then the sons of Devaki and killed by Kamsa. And so because they are fortunately younger brothers of Krishna, they were reinstated as Marichi Kumars, as Rishi Putras. But such a big reaction for lakhs of years. Brahmaji was affected by lust many multiples of crores of years back. Then Kalnemi happened lakhs of years back. And Devaki happened 5,000 years back. Such a lakhs of years of punishment for just saying, अरे देखो कैसा है भाई अपने लड़की के पीछे भाग रहा है. That means in a ridiculing tone, in a laughing tone. And those who did that punishment, those who did that mistake, it's a mistake. We should understand it, honestly accept it. And Brahmaji did that. He corrected it. He gave up his subtle body. He gave up that attitude. And he went on to become acharya of a parampara. Vishwamitra went on to become the guru of Lord Ram. So you should understand. In any case, who will say, Prabhuji, he is doing a mistake, na? Except, we are not hiding a mistake. But you are seeing it and discussing it. It is a very big mistake. We have to understand that. And that is a very wrong attitude on a subtle level. On a grosser level, attitude is of sense gratification and pride, which has to be given up. And subtle level, it manifests as criticizing others, laughing at others. If all these things are there, again, certainly it's very important for spiritual progress. But if we have the right attitude, right understanding, don't think that these things over here are imaginary. The material world, even in Kali Yuga, even today, just and very fast, quickly, if the human society, in a, at least some way, change their attitudes, the supply can be too abundant, even in today's world. And so, pure in mind, pure in consciousness, pure in habits, that is, in sync with material nature, certainly, we can have abundant supply even today. And it's not just imaginary thing that Dwarka had so much abundant supply. But we have to learn not to exploit the nature or not to conflict with the nature, but cooperate with the nature. Then the things will happen. And certainly it will all help us in our spiritual life also. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you for giving a patient hearing. If anyone has any doubt or question, although it's time, but we can take one if someone has any doubt or questions. Or we can end. Hare Krishna. Okay, one. Prabhuji. But just mic is coming.
Sometimes we see that there are people who may be living a not sense gratificatory, but you know, a comfortable life, like opulent, comfortable life, and they may not have much. It seems, at least, that you know they are relatively free from pride or you know craving for respect. And there are people who are apparently living a very sense-controlled life, but they have a huge craving for, you know, respect or satisfaction of ego.
Possible.
So is it because of their nature, they are born with that nature, and if somebody has that problem of craving for respect and, you know, pride and, you know, always seeing faults in others, how does one, self-gratification perhaps is not there, but that craving, how do you control?
See, this attitude has nothing to do with somebody's rich or poor or beautiful or not beautiful. Somebody has a means for a comfortable life or doesn't have the means for a comfortable life. These attitudes are attitudes, as it is saying in English, even the beggar is proud of his penny. So a beggar can be proud of a penny. If you see that Sudama Brahman, especially it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, a direct shloka, that even after getting that so much opulence, unlimited opulence, specifically that point is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Sudama Brahmana's consciousness, he was living before in a apparent poverty situation, and then he became an apparent comfortable palace house, huge house, gardens, servants, we just can't describe it. It is specifically mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudama's consciousness did not change even a bit, even a fraction. So, the problem is the attitude. It may sometimes manifest because of our skills or money, or pride may manifest out of some skills also or some money. But the problem is neither skills, neither money. The pride is our attitude. So, as you said, basically, see, everyone will be born in a different way. Everyone will be born. Some may have more attitude to find faults. Some may have less attitude to find faults coming from the past birth. Vedic culture accepts that. The point is, whatever you are, try to improve. Whatever you are, no, all people are equal. Somebody may be already, that's what is there. Somebody may be more Brahmanical in nature. Somebody may not be there. Somebody may be more. So, whatever you are, accept it. Everyone has scope for improvement. But the point is there, yes. Like, we'll find people, those who are having, as you say, those who have, like, actually that is the case. In Bhagavatam, in 10th canto, it is said, the real gentleman, the trees, when the trees had, were full loaded with fruits, and the trees were bending down because of the weight of the fruits, it is described, those who have real good qualities, they are like these trees. The more they have, the more they become humble. But some may not have, or even though have, they may not be humble. So that's not exactly connected. And therefore, we have to be very careful while judging others, not only from externals. And even though we see a fault, we have to restrict ourselves from condemning, criticizing, ridiculing that fault. We don't say the fault is not there. It may be there. Everyone does a mistake. Vishwamitra did a mistake. Brahma did a mistake. You did a mistake. I do a mistake. We don't say that it is. Sometimes that is also another problem. When we come in devotee association, we come thinking that now this association, there should not be any fault. All devotees should behave perfectly. No mistakes. Only I can do mistakes. Because I am a new devotee. No? All are new devotees. And therefore all, I wouldn't say that way, but all have the rights, or I would say all have the chances to do mistakes. But sometimes the devotee, अरे मैं तो सोच के आया था ये perfect society रहेगा. Perfect ही है, क्योंकि यहां पे लोग perfection के लिए try कर रहे हैं, इसीलिए perfect है. Perfect इसीलिए नहीं है कि ये perfect है, और perfect इसलिए है क्योंकि यहां के सब लोग perfection के लिए try कर रहे हैं, और बाहर का perfect नहीं इसलिए वहां पे perfection के लिए try नहीं कर रहे. And just like you are a sadhak bhakta, most of us in the society are sadhak bhaktas, and they might do some mistake of some way, partiality, anger, and this and that, something. But we have to learn to tolerate that, because we also do mistakes. But again, pride test makes what the pride test. Generally, what you do? We do some mistakes. We don't talk about that. We talk about those mistakes which we don't do. All our different nature. अरे ये ऐसा है, मैं ऐसा नहीं हूं, पर तू वो नहीं बात करने से. सो दैट्स द नेचर फॉर प्राइड. सो वी शुड बेटर लुक एट अवर ओन मिस्टेक्स, दैट वी कैन फॉरगेट अदर्स एंड टॉलरेट अदर्स ऑल्सो. बिकॉज देयर इज अनदर प्रॉब्लम. वी थिंक दैट इन द सोसाइटी ऑफ डिवोटीज इज परफेक्ट, नॉट बिकॉज इट इज परफेक्ट. इट इज परफेक्ट बिकॉज ऑल आर ट्राइंग टू बिकम परफेक्ट, एंड दैट वी शुड बी हियर. इफ यू एक्सेप्ट, नो वी इफ यू एक्सपेक्ट दैट ऑल इन द temple here are to the Mr. Best Perfect. Sorry, you are an illusion. But all are sincerely trying to become perfect. Then you can be in reality. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Hare Krishna. Today Sunday breakfast prasadam is sponsored by Rajendra Prasad Khattor and Chita Devi Khattor's wedding anniversary. Would like to pray to their lordships to shower their choicest blessings upon him and his family for their wonderful service. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We request everyone to be kindly be seated. We have an announcement. Bhaktivedanta Academy of Culture and Education announces 2-day seminar entitled Samskar. This seminar covers 6 different topics. This will be held in Bhaktivedanta Hall on 25th of June, upcoming Saturday, and 26th of June, upcoming Sunday, 2022. Seminar will be conducted by His Grace Nilambar Prabhu. For registration details, kindly visit notice board downstairs or visit our website courses.skonchopati.com. This seminar will be conducted in Hindi language. Hare Krishna. भक्तिवेदांत एकेडमी ऑफ कल्चर एंड एजुकेशन 2 दिवसीय सेमिनार की घोषणा कर रहा है, जिसका शीर्षक है संस्कार. इस सेमिनार में 6 अलग अलग विषय शामिल हैं. ये भक्तिवेदांत हॉल में 25 जून शनिवार और 26 जून रविवार 2022 को आयोजित किया जाएगा. सेमिनार के प्रवक्ता हैं हिज ग्रेस नीलांबर प्रभु. रजिस्ट्रेशन के लिए कृपया skonchopati.com पे आप जा सकते हैं. ये कोर्स हिंदी लैंग्वेज में किया जाएगा. धन्यवाद.
हरे राम, हरे राम, राम राम हरे. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे. हरे राम 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 राम.